गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांध्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्दे अहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमस्ते। भक्तकांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विश्वभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। वृंदायै तुलसीदेवै प्रियायै केशवस्य च विष्णुभक्ति प्रदेवी सत्त्वतये ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकंड कैंटो चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 14 एंड 15। So text 14 doesn't have a purport, so we will read through text 15 that has a purport. So text 14 is not on the, hasn't been written on the board, so I'll just read through, read the verse and translation, and then we'll read text 15 together. श्रीर्जात्र रूप Shrijatra Rupinu Rurugaya Padayo Karoti Manam Bahuda Vibhuti Bhi Prenkhaṁ Shritāja Kusuma Karanugai Vigiya Mana Kriya Karma Gayati. Translation by Śrīla Prabhupāda. The goddess of fortune, in her transcendental form, is engaged in the loving service of the Lord's lotus feet, and being moved by the black bees, followers of spring, she is not only engaged in variegated pleasure, service to the Lord along with her constant companion, but also she is engaged in singing the glories of the Lord's activities. Text 15. Dadarsha. Dadarsha tatra khila shatta tankotin. Shriya patin jagga patin jagat patin. Shunanda nanda prabalar hanadibhi. Sapar shadagrai parishevitam vibhum. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma saw in the Vaikuntha planet the personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of the entire devotee community, the Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, the Lord of all sacrifices, and the Lord of the universe, and who is served by the foremost servitors like Nanda, Shunanda, Prabala, and Arhana, his immediate associates. Please repeat after me. Lord Brahma saw in the Vaikuntha planet the personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of the entire devotee community, the Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, the Lord of all sacrifices, and the Lord of the universe. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Shriman Mahaprabhu Shakti Prindati. And who is served by the foremost servitors like Nanda, Sunanda, Prabala, and Arhana, his immediate associates. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When we speak of the king, it is naturally understood that the king is accompanied by his confidential associates like the secretary, private secretary, aide-de-camp, ministers, advisors, etc. So also, when we see the Lord, we see him with his different energies, associates, and confidential servitors, etc. So the Supreme Lord, who is the leader of all living entities, the Lord of all devotee sects, the Lord of all opulences, the Lord of sacrifices, and the enjoyer of everything in his entire creation, is not only the Supreme Person, but also he is always surrounded by his immediate associates, all engaged in their loving transcendental service to him. So, Brahma went to Vaikuntha planet, and there he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the previous verse, it has been described that the Goddess of Fortune, in her transcendental form, is engaged in the loving service of the Lord's lotus feet, and being moved by the black bees, flowers of spring, she is not only engaged in variegated pleasure, service to the Lord along with her constant companions, but also she is engaged in singing the glories of the Lord's activities. So this is how the Lord resides in His spiritual abode. Krishna is eternally situated in the transcendental reality, in the spiritual sky, in Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. And there He is eternally served by His eternal associates. In the spiritual sky, everything is eternal. The spiritual nature is eternal, and everybody in the spiritual nature is also eternal. There, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternal, and His associates are also eternal. And there, the Lord is enjoying the transcendental bliss due to the loving exchange between the Lord and His devotees. Actually, whenever we think of joy, the basis of joy is love. The ultimate source of joy is love. Now, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme enjoyer, and He is deriving that enjoyment, He is experiencing that enjoyment due to His exchange of love with His devotees, due to the loving exchange with His devotees. And that love is not one-sided. It is a reciprocal. Love always is a reciprocal. Love always is a two-way traffic. Love can never be one-sided. It is not that only the devotees love Krishna and Krishna doesn't care for them. No. The devotees love Krishna and Krishna reciprocates that love. Not only reciprocates, Krishna actually gets into a competition of love with His devotees. There is a loving competition. There is a competition of love in the spiritual sky or in devotional service. The devotee loves Krishna and Krishna returns that love multiplied by many fold. Then the devotee reciprocates by loving Krishna even more. Then Krishna reciprocates by loving the devotee even more. And this is how there is a continuous loving exchange between the devotees and the Lord, between the Lord and His devotees. And that's why in the spiritual sky, this transcendental joy, ananda, is constantly increasing. Anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnam ritashwadanam. In the spiritual sky, this transcendental joy is constantly increasing. The spiritual sky has been compared to an ocean of joy, an ocean of ecstasy. But that ocean, although it is endless, but still it is continuously increasing. It is an endless ocean of joy, and that ocean is continuously increasing due to the loving exchange between the Lord and the devotee. Actually, Krishna loves everybody. It is not that Krishna loves only His devotees and doesn't love those who are non-devotees, those who have forgotten Him. Krishna loves everybody. But it is up to the individuals, up to the living entities, whether they are going to reciprocate that love for Krishna, love towards Krishna. And when the living entity does that, when a living entity reciprocates, then immediately he becomes situated in a very, very joyful state of existence, and gradually he becomes elevated to the spiritual sky. When the living entity rejects Krishna, when the living entity becomes oblivious of Krishna, and as a result of that falls into this material nature, the living entity becomes the living entity, forgets Krishna, becomes completely unaware of Krishna, and thus he forgets how Krishna loves him. But although the living entity forgets how Krishna loves him, although the living entity forgets about Krishna completely, but Krishna never forgets the living entity, nor does he ever cease to love him. And that's why Krishna accompanies the conditioned soul as the super soul. When a living entity rejects Krishna, Krishna still goes with him. And wherever the living entity goes, Krishna goes with him. It doesn't matter in whatever body the living entity is in whatever condition the living entity is in, Krishna always goes with him. And that shows how much Krishna loves the living entity. We can consider there are many people who love us. But if we are in a very degraded, in a very, very unpleasant condition, then they would leave us. We have seen how material relationships break up due to unpleasant situation. But Krishna, no matter how unpleasantly, how abominably the living entity may be situated, Krishna doesn't reject him. Krishna goes with him wherever the living entity goes. Even when the living entity becomes a worm in the stool, we can consider how abominable that condition is. Krishna still goes with him as the super soul. As a matter of fact, for Krishna, this entire material nature is a place full of stool. But still Krishna came with us, although we have opted to reject him and fall into this degraded condition of this material nature. That's why Krishna has been considered to be the Surhidam Sarva Bhutanam. Surhidam, there are different kinds of friendship. There is Maitri, Bandhu, etc. But of all kinds of friendship, the most intimate is Surhid. The word Surhid is coming from Hridaya. Hridaya means heart. And the one who is very close to our heart is a Surhid. And Krishna has been described as a Surhid. He is not only a Surhid, he is actually even more than a Surhid. He is not only close to our heart, but he is actually situated in our heart. He is situated in the heart of every spirit soul, every living entity who is residing in the heart of this body. And Krishna is accompanying all the conditioned souls in different conditions in this material nature, because Krishna cares for the living entities, because Krishna loves everybody. And Krishna, as a super soul, is simply waiting when the living entity is going to turn his face towards him. That is the only reason why Krishna is with us as in our heart as the super soul. He is simply waiting for the time when we are going to turn our faces towards him. And as long as we are averse to him, as long as we are looking away from him, as long as we are obsessed with this material nature and developing different desires to enjoy this material nature, as a very loving friend, as a very dear friend, as a very concerned father, Krishna is fulfilling our desires. Okay, you want this in the material nature? You want to enjoy this material nature, you want to be the Lord and Master of the material nature, and Krishna is fulfilling all our desires. Whatever we desire, Krishna is fulfilling that desire. It is not that Krishna is punishing anybody as such. When somebody gets a very abominable body and lives in an abominable condition, it is not that Krishna wanted him to be in that abominable condition, but actually the living entity wanted to be in that abominable condition. And therefore, Krishna fulfilled that desire. Okay, you wanted to enjoy this material nature in this way. Okay, I will provide you with all facilities. This is how Krishna is continuously fulfilling our desires as the super soul. As long as we are conditioned. But as soon as we become rid of our conditioning, as soon as we turn our faces towards Krishna, then immediately Krishna reciprocates and allows us to come closer and closer to Him. And that begins, that process of getting close to Krishna begins with sadhu sangha. Begins with the favorable association of devotees. Devotional service is the means by which one can become, situated on the spiritual platform, by which one can become related to Krishna once again. But that process of loving devotion begins with the association of devotees, and then as that association also begin with Ajnata Sukriti. How does one develop devotional service? That has been described that by the mercy of the devotee. Now how does one receive the mercy of the devotee? By Ajnata Sukriti. One receives the mercy unknowingly. Somehow one comes in contact with the devotee and becomes favorably disposed to him, does something for him, and as a result of that he acquires the Ajnata Sukriti, and that Ajnata Sukriti, unknown transcendental piety, is what pushes him further to become engaged in devotional service. And we can see how wonderfully Prabhupada made arrangements to distribute that Ajnata Sukriti all over the world. Prabhupada, one of our main service is actually to distribute books. And when we distribute books, we are actually distributing Ajnata Sukriti for these conditioned souls. They are, as they buy the books and become favorably disposed to the devotees, they actually acquire Ajnata Sukriti. As soon as they touch the book and start to appreciate the book, they acquire Ajnata Sukriti. And what to speak of when they start to read the book. Similarly, this temple that Prabhupada built all over the world, when people come and see the deities, Jaya Shri Shri Radha Madhava, Shriman Mahaprabhu, Shakti Brahma Ki Jaya. See the deity of Srila Prabhupada and associate with the devotees, become favorably disposed. They actually start to pave their way back to Godhead. So when one begins his devotional service by somehow or other acquiring some of Ajnata Sukriti, he comes closer to the devotee. And then the real sadhu sangha begins. By Ajnata Sukriti, one develops Shraddha, and when the Shraddha matures, one begins to associate with the devotees, and then when one becomes favorably disposed to the devotees and starts to associate with them, then they find that how the devotees are concerned about his spiritual engagement, spiritual advancement, and thus they engage them in transcendental devotional service, and thus bhajana kriya begins. One becomes engaged in direct devotional service to the Lord. And as one becomes engaged in devotional service under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, he becomes totally free from all his material unearthly. All his material contaminations. And this is how one gradually makes spiritual advancement, and finally he goes back to the spiritual sky. And when he goes back to the spiritual sky, like Brahma, he also sees Krishna surrounded by his associates. Krishna is never alone. Eko bahunam jo vidadhatu kaman. Although Krishna is one, he became many. He multiplied himself into many. And his expansions are of two kinds, swamsa and vibhinnaṃsha. He expands himself in different incarnations. They are known as swamsa. And he expands as parts and parcels. They are known as vibhinnaṃsha. The jivas are the vibhinnaṃshas, are part and parcel. They are separated, fragmental parts and parcels. But the swamsa expansions are incomplete. He expands himself as he is, without any deterioration of himself. Just as he is. And he expanded himself into innumerable such forms. In the spiritual sky, he expands himself into innumerable Vaikuntha forms, Narayan forms. Then in the material nature, he expands, or in relation to the material nature, he expands into six different kinds of incarnations. And then in the material nature, he further expands as the super soul of living entities. Like in every living entity, what to speak of in every living entity, in every atom, he is present as the super soul. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastha. And all those expansions are non-different from Krishna himself. His entire potency has been invested in those expansions. The Krishna as super soul situated in the hearts of living entities as is totally non-different, is absolutely non-different from Krishna in Golok Vrindavan. Is the same personality with the same potency. That's why when a devotee develops a loving relationship with Krishna in the heart, then he sees Krishna eternally performing his pastime, and his heart thus becomes transformed into Vrindavan. Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying, Shabar Hridai Mon Mor Mon Vrindavan, that my heart is Vrindavan, and in that heart Mahaprabhu is explaining that he is seeing Krishna performing his pastime. Naham tishthami vaikunthe nacha jaginam ridayenacha. The Krishna does not stay, Krishna may not stay in Vaikuntha. Krishna does not stay in the hearts of the yogis. But Krishna is present where his devotees sing his glory. And Krishna resides eternally in the heart of his pure devotee. Actually, Krishna in the heart of the living entities, the super soul, remains a super soul only as long as living entity is conditioned. But as soon as the living entity develops his loving relationship, as soon as the living entity begins to love Krishna, then Krishna, as the super soul, reciprocates, and according to his love, he manifests himself to the devotees. The devotees who developed a loving relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan mood, he will see Krishna in his heart, in his two-armed form. And in this verse, it has been explained that how Lakshmi Devi is continuously rendering service to Narayan, Vaikunthapati, Shriyapati, Jagapati, Sattatangpati, and Jagatpati, Krishna. And she is constantly considering how to give pleasure to Krishna, and everyone in Vaikuntha is assisting Lakshmi Devi. Similarly, in Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani is constantly considering how to give pleasure to Krishna, and everyone in Vrindavan is assisting Srimati Radharani to render devotional service to Krishna. So Srimati Radharani is the dearmost devotee of Krishna, and everybody else is rendering service to Krishna under her guidance, or for her, or to assist her to be engaged, or assist her in her service to Krishna. Similarly, Balaram is another dearmost devotee of Krishna in the mellow of friendship, and those who are related to Krishna in friendship are rendering service to Krishna through Balaram. Similarly, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda are the dearmost devotees of Krishna, the most intimate associates of Krishna in the spiritual sky, rendering service to Krishna in the mellow of parental love. And those who are related to Krishna in parental love are assisting Nanda Maharaj and Jasoda. Now this is how there are different group leaders for different mellows of devotional service. But all these mellows are actually assisting the most elevated of all mellows, Unnato Ujjala Rasham, that is the conjugal loving relationship with Krishna, where Srimati Radharani is the reservoir, Srimati Radharani is the source. So in Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani is the dearmost devotee of Krishna, and Krishna is very attached and very much attracted to Srimati Radharani. Not only Srimati Radharani, Krishna is actually attracted to all his devotees. When a devotee begins to render service to Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates in a very loving and affectionate way. And this is how everyone in the spiritual sky becomes perfectly situated. There is no such competition in the spiritual sky. No one is thinking why Radharani has the most advanced, the most elevated position. Why not me? No one thinks like that in the spiritual sky. On the other hand, everyone is perfectly satisfied in the spiritual sky. Everyone feels that Krishna loves him the most. Therefore, there is no such unwanted and unpleasant competition in the spiritual sky. That's why there is no envy in the spiritual sky. And everyone is perfectly satisfied being receiving the love of Krishna, thinking that Krishna loves him the most, and being so satisfied, everyone is helping everyone else to render devotional service. So that is the spiritual nature. In the spiritual nature, there is no envy. In the spiritual nature, there is only love. Everyone is trying to assist everybody else. Everyone is trying to help everybody else to render service to Krishna. And for himself, he feels completely unqualified to render any service to Krishna. He feels he himself is so fallen. He himself is so unqualified that he cannot actually render any service. But others are pure devotees of Krishna. Others are very intimate associates of Krishna. So they are always helping others to render that service to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada has given us this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which is non-different from the spiritual sky. Srila Prabhupada actually brought the spiritual sky in this material nature in the form of ISKCON. And somehow or other, due to some good fortune, due to some Agyata Sukriti, we have come to ISKCON. And now, let us develop these qualifications. Let us develop these qualities of the devotees and thus become properly situated in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Let us not fight with each other. Let us not envy each other. Instead, as Prabhupada emphatically told us, to develop a relationship based on love and trust. Let us try to cooperate with each other. And as we start to cooperate, then we'll see, as we cooperate, then Krishna consciousness will spread automatically. Actually, Krishna consciousness spreads only by Krishna's mercy. Krishna shakti bina nahi tar pravartan. Krishna consciousness cannot spread by any other means besides Krishna's own mercy, Krishna's own potency. And Krishna will become merciful upon us. Krishna will shower his mercy only when we cooperate with each other to spread Krishna's glories all over the world. And as we start to cooperate, as we develop that cohesive spirit of Sankirtan, Sankirtan means collective. Collective endeavor to glorify Krishna. So as we develop that real spirit of Sankirtan, then Krishna consciousness will spread in leaps and bounds all over the world. Nothing can actually stop it. Although it is a very, very degraded age, Kale Doshe Nidhe Rajan, this age has been compared to an ocean of sinful activities. But through the Sankirtan movement, this sinful effect of this material nature will be very easily eradicated. How easily? Just as with the appearance of light, darkness immediately disappears. Darkness is, intense darkness is impenetrable. But as soon as the light comes up, there is no more darkness. Darkness just disappears. Similarly, despite this world being like an ocean of sinful activities, and it may appear to us to be impossible to counter this sinful state of this material nature in this age of Kali. But as soon as the Sankirtan movement spreads, as soon as the congregational glorification of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes place, then immediately all the sinful reactions will disappear and the spiritual light will prevail all over the world. And that spiritual light is the knowledge of Krishna and the love for the devotees of Krishna and love for Krishna himself. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Maharaj, some comments? Yes.
My question is, that the also a common
in this world? Yes. The question is, it has been explained that the super soul accompanies the living entities wherever he goes. Does the super soul also accompany the spirit soul when he goes back to the spiritual sky? Yes. When one develops a loving relationship with Krishna, then the super soul does not remain as inactive, four-handed super soul anymore. He reciprocates with the devotee. And the devotee perceives him as his Ishtadeva, as his worshipable Lord in the heart. Say in our movement, we are devotees of Krishna. So when a devotee develops the transcendental loving relationship with Krishna, then he will see Krishna in the heart, Krishna in his heart. And Krishna will be there always with him till he goes back to the spiritual sky. And when he goes back to the spiritual sky, actually there is no difference. The pure devotee's heart and Golok Vrindavan are non-different. Krishna performs his pastimes in the heart of a pure devotee. A pure devotee means a devotee who is constantly obsessed, constantly absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He is always thinking of Krishna. And what happens when we become free from our material contamination, when we become pure, then we constantly see Krishna's pastimes. So the super soul, then we do not see him as super soul, we see him as Krishna. Only the yogis see him as super soul. Devotees don't. Hare Krishna. The question is that it has been mentioned that the loving relationship is reciprocal. But then again, in the class, it has been mentioned that when living entity rejects Krishna, still Krishna loves him and goes with the living entity wherever he goes, although the living entity doesn't love Krishna. Yeah, here this love is one-sided. That's why this love is not complete. Krishna loves out of his affection for the living entities, just like a father loves the son. The son may reject the father. Son may stop to love the father, but the father can never stop showering his affection. The father can never forget the son. Similarly, our Supreme Father Krishna, he continuously cares for us, but that cannot be considered to be love in its true sense. The love, it will be complete as love or loving relationship only when the living entity will begin to reciprocate that love of Krishna. Yes, otherwise it's one-sided, and that's why it is incomplete. And that's why the living entity is not enjoying, the living entity is not experiencing the bliss. That's why the living entity is suffering, in spite of Krishna providing him with everything that he needs. But as soon as the living entity begins to love Krishna, then immediately Krishna reciprocates, and the living entity becomes submerged in an ocean of joy, ocean of ecstasy. Can you start again?
Yeah.
I'll say again. Yeah. The you mean the ultimate goal is the spiritual life.
Yeah.
The end goal, you said, is spiritual.
Envy.
I see.
Envy.
Oh yeah, right. Yes. Envy can be conquered by love. Envy develops when love is not there. You see, when we love somebody, then we cannot envy him. Right? See, in definition of envy according to Bhakti Vinod Thakur is to be happy in others' distress and being distressed in others' happiness. That's the definition of envy. But love is being, love or compassion is being happy in others' happiness and being distressed in others' distress. Now, how do we feel like that? When do you become happy? When you see that others are happy. When you love him. If you love somebody and you see that he became very rich, how will you feel? You'll automatically feel happy. Because the person you love, person who is very close to you, he became happy or he became famous. Right? Or if you see that someone, when you see that someone who you love very much is suffering, how do you feel? You feel very sad. You feel very distressed. So, by developing our love for Krishna and Krishna's devotees, we conquer envy. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.